I've not seen an interview better than the one that was posted this morning with head football coach Alex Golish. And it was that guy right there. That guy, if you're watching on the right side of your screen, Zach Blackerby, his Locked On Auburn show, the one-on-one interview with Alex Golish was phenomenal. And if you're an Auburn fan and you haven't listened to it or watched it yet, that's got to be the next thing you do after this show. It was phenomenal, Zach. You guys dove into the roster. You asked different questions than, with all due respect to everybody else, not a knock on anybody else, but I thought you were original and different with your questions. You got a lot of really good stuff out of the head coach.
Well, I think a lot of the interviews, and rightfully so, that he'd done prior had been about, you know, big picture stuff, which is important. It's not interesting. It is important. But I didn't really want to ask him about, you know, translating to the SEC. Like, he's done all that. We all know his stance, if you've watched his other stuff, about all the South Florida guys coming with him. And so I wanted to ask him kind of stuff that he hasn't been asked yet. So, zoomed in a little bit. Obviously talked about spring. Obviously talked about the scrimmage that's coming up. Talked about the backup quarterback battle. I asked him about offensive line. I think he talked for him about him for about 8 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So, I appreciate the kind words, but I think I got like 5 questions in like 23 minutes because he has so much to say on these different topics, which is great. You know, just kind of observing my live chat as it premiered this morning, there was so much talk about how confident he is and how calm he was and how intentional he is, which is his word. He loves that word, but it's true. He's the same way. How intentional he was about every answer. And everything that he's already, like everything he says, he's already thought about in his brain. And you and I've talked about that from the form of reacting to some of his press conferences.
Yeah.
So that was cool to see.
Yeah. And so what I want to do with our show today is go over some of the thoughts without giving away the full interview. Cause I do like, I think there's a lot of crossover audience, but I want people to go click. I want them to go watch or listen to the interview if they haven't.
Yeah.
And
me too. Yeah.
And then also I would love for people to share your thoughts here or there or both just on our takeaways. I thought one of the most interesting takeaways, Zach, was the word compliant. Compliant. The guys who stay, and it just kind of solidified what we've talked about before. Guys who stay through a coaching change, like they had their chance to go do something different. They stayed because they believe in the coaches or the place or both, and they want the change that's coming. They don't want the same old thing. And so I thought one of the early buzzwords in that interview was how compliant these guys have been.
Yeah, I mean, we heard that day one of spring. Evan McPherson, Xavier Atkins is who I heard it from directly. I read the quotes from everybody else, but you know, that I think that's a big deal. I think that's a big deal because what they're used to is losing. Doesn't matter how you get there. It's the end product, and the end product has been losing.
Yeah.
And so props to these guys for understanding, hey, I want to be at Auburn. I came here to win at Auburn, but we weren't winning.
Yep.
And we've got somebody else in who is shocking the culture and cares about every single little detail. One of the detail-oriented things that he talked about, I asked him about the scrimmage coming up on Thursday.
Yep.
And he talked about like where the coaches stand during, he's like, anytime we do situational stuff, like, you know, we're not on the field during that. We're calling it as if we're a game. And I can only base this off of like what we've seen at Auburn over the past few years, but that hasn't really been a thing. And so I think what he's saying is we are practicing like we're going to play because that's what matters. And like it's details like that I just feel like have been lacking here.
Yeah. And those kind of details lose games. They lose games.
He was talking about the quarterback sight line, how it's different at Jordan-Hare. Yeah. And so that's going to be one of the emphasis of the scrimmage. Like, that's awesome. That's great.
Go ahead. Hey, tackle that. Tackle that in the spring. Yeah. Tackle that in early April. So it's not a challenge that you have to spend time on some other time later before the season starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that they're practicing kind of at the tempo and with coaches on the sideline, even in periods, because again, you're preparing these guys for what they're going to face, not in a game, but in a scrimmage.
Yeah.
Because then the scrimmage prepares you for what you're going to do in a game. So prepare without leaving anything out for a scrimmage, just like they prepared before practice for practice. Let's make sure we're not having to cover anything in practice that we could go over before, because you practice to get ready for the scrimmage. Then you don't have to spend some time. Yeah, it keeps you ahead right. by one step. Love that.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everything he said as far as like the intentionality that he demands from his players, you were getting from the top.
Yeah.
Which is important, which is absolutely important. Be who you say you are. That seems to kind of trickle down from the very top, which is important.
Some of the offensive line talk, I think there's encouraging news on the injury and development front. He talked about a couple of guys there at tackle that I think you'll find interesting, and I think it's important. I think it's both.
Yeah.
Also, he said, you had six guys that have taken snaps at center.
Who do you think already? Let's do that real quick. The six guys who have taken snaps
all right.
at center. Because I noticed this when I was watching it with everybody else this morning. Like, I make a face during that. I'm like, six guys that took a snap at center. So obviously Cole Best.
Yep.
And obviously Kale Ellis.
Yep.
Who are the other four?
I think McManus.
Okay.
Yeah. I think McManus is one.
Ward?
Don't you think maybe...
Skinner?
Gosh, do you think Plaz has? Skinner, yes.
Possibly. Like a Parker Pritchett might make sense.
Jacoby Ward? Yeah, maybe.
I mentioned him. Yeah, I think we're getting some lag issues. I mentioned Jacoby Ward. See, I agree. So it's like, do all the interior guys also like snap the ball from time to time in practice just in case?
Right. He did. Yeah, it makes me think if you have taken snaps at guard, most likely you've taken a snap or two at center as well. He did talk about the physicality of the inside of the offensive line. I was encouraged on his... Like, knowing the standard that he has and how he's not really – we'll talk about this, too. He ain't comfortable with nothing. Like, he is never satisfied. And he's pretty high on the interior of this offensive line. That was encouraging to me. But, yeah, and I think part of that is the cross-training. And you know what? If they're at guard, let's get them a look anyway at center. Just in case. Because it covers, you know, it covers one area. Never know when you need. Well, you'll never need five centers. Yeah, Auburn did in 1998. They needed five centers. So, just in case. My favorite part of the interview was the last 4 minutes or so.
Okay.
I really encourage people to check out the way he phrases or the way he puts it, that he is just never satisfied. If you think he's going to come out, and this is not a shot at Gus, but one of Gus's phrases that he used a lot was, we're in a good spot. We're in a good spot. I think we're in a good spot. And there is a time and a place for the positivity. You know, some people respond great to positivity and reassurance. And, you know, we want to make you feel like everything's fine. That's not the way this head coach does it.
Right.
It's just not the way. And I think that excites a lot of fans who have been waiting for that something extra. Not that, hey, it's fine. We're okay. We're okay. To, no, we ain't okay. But we're going to work our tails off today to get okay.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I asked him point blank, and I've referred back to this quote on this show, on Locked On, really every show I go on. I bring it up a lot. Where in his very first press conference, he talked about how Auburn's they're in a race against themselves to get Auburn back to competing, including like, hey, there's no patience. I'm not asking for patience. We're going to go out there and work, or we're going to try to win day one. We don't need none of this year three stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, where are you in that process? And he's like, man, I am not the right person to ask that question.
Yeah.
Because he's so focused on all these little details.
Yeah,
that he has a hard time evaluating big picture. because he's so focused. Like, well, this little thing's not right. This little thing is right some of the time. This little thing is good for sure, but it sets up these other little things that aren't as good. So does that thing even really matter?
Right.
And it's like, I'm just going to guess the top coaches in every sport, that's how they think. They're not satisfied with anything. So I agree. I loved that answer.
I've worked with different people. I can think of two that come to mind now, not to name names, but just like that aren't coaches, but they have that same type of attitude about life.
Yeah.
And they're highly successful in their fields. Highly successful. Driven, motivated. Right. Like sometimes it seems like chaos in the world around them, but doggone it, they've got a plan and they know what they're doing and it works.
Yeah.
Because they just don't, they never take a moment to go, that's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. So I'm very energetic. Like I told you before we recorded, if there's a segment of the fan base that just has no opinion and doesn't want to have any opinion at all until the first game, I get it. I get it. We've had a lot of conversations over the years about, hey, it's going to be great. Auburn's going to blow past their win total and, you know, pick the over and this, that, and the other. Hadn't worked out. But if you want to form an opinion and you're forming a negative one, I don't know how you do that after you hear him talk. Because every time I hear him talk, it's like, no, I like this vision and I like it more than what I've heard in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that seems to be kind of a common sentiment and response. And I mean, I've seen this before, you know, but even before, you know, this morning show dropped of the Auburn fan saying, man, I'm trying not to get excited. I'm trying not. It's swelling up within. It's bubbling up, but I'm trying to suppress it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, this just kind of continues all of that. I mean, I'm going to be honest, like the conversation with Cole Best a few weeks ago, like that to me is when I'm like, wow. Like these guys are really betting a lot.
Yeah.
On, placing a lot of importance on, you know, all of these things that Alex Golish says, like, I don't know, it's got to mean something.
Yeah.
It's got to mean something.
Yep. I like the way you phrase that. There was an offensive line comment that made me go like, oh, out of necessity, they're having to put their eggs in a basket that, you know, I hope it's sturdy. We all hope it's sturdy. Talking about the offensive line, it's like, all right, well, that's an area that maybe we're talking about different in a couple of years. But anyway, it's all, I think, highly interesting and important. And I think you ought to, I'm a huge fan of it and love the interview you did and want people to check that out. So check it out. It's on Zach's Locked On Auburn show today, for Monday. Check that out. And if your car is making a noise and you've been ignoring it, or the warning light is on and you just keep hoping it'll go away, go to Precision Tune Auto Care. Yeah, that's the sound. That's the sound. Don't want it. Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika performs a full digital inspection. They send you photos and videos of what they find. You're never left guessing. They explain everything clearly. They let you decide how to move forward. When your car sounds like a sick horse, sounds like a donkey about to die, you need to call Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. It is where car care meets hospitality. Before we talk about baseball, can we have a banana conversation?
I don't know what that means.
Okay. Granted, after some of our recent conversations, I understand the fear there.
Banana conversation.
Yeah. Do you eat brown bananas? Like this. Let me show you a picture. Would you eat bananas that look like this? For those audio only, I'm sorry. It's a bunch of brown spots.
Yeah, I would probably eat those. Yeah.
Okay. What about the rest of you? Do you eat brown bananas?
I wouldn't say that those are brown bananas, though.
You wouldn't call those brown bananas?
No. I think so, like a day later, they'll get a lot more brown. I would say those are brown bananas.
Well, at what
point? Those are on the cusp of being a brown banana.
How much brown do you need on the banana before you won't?
To me, it's not about the color of the banana. It's the texture. Like, how squishy is it?
Okay. I didn't realize until a conversation broke out in Tuscaloosa over the weekend. There are some people who, if there's any brown on the banana, they want nothing to do with it. They think
like
it's
adults? Spoiled.
Yes. Yeah.
Children do that. My children do that. Adults do that?
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty vocal, like strong opinions.
Got
strong
it.
Strong opinions.
Got
did
it.
Did you know that the brown bananas are actually the most nutritious versions of the bananas?
I would not know that. I did not know that. No.
It means they're overripe. The chlorophyll, you know why they're green at the beginning? Because it's chlorophyll. Same stuff just in plants. Chlorophyll, more like borophyll. It's not a science class. But the brown spots mean that the chlorophyll has been broken down completely.
Well, you know what part of the plant cell makes the chlorophyll?
What's that?
The chloroplasts.
The chloroplasts. That's right. That's right. Well, apparently there's chloroplasts in
bananas. Also, mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
It is. That is true. That is true. So for everybody in seventh grade science class, okay, we're with you today. We're with you. No, so it's on like when they're brown, they're like a superfood. As bananas age, they produce ethylene gas, which causes the peel to develop the brown spots, and the gas does away with the chlorophyll within the banana. It's why the unripe ones are green and bitter, and the brown ones are sweeter, and they're actually higher in antioxidants.
Is that the case for all fruits? Like, if any fruit is browning, is that why?
That's a good question. I don't know. I've only dived into bananas at this point.
All right. Can we have an update on that tomorrow?
Yeah, it's not a bad project to look into today.
Okay.
Great. Like my uncle is one. My uncle's 70 plus years old. He'll call it a rotten banana. It's not rot. I feel like I'm on this campaign for bananas, for banana positivity. And like, let's bring back. Let's fight the good fight for brown bananas.
My least favorite thing that happens in our household when bananas start to get brown is my wife will put them in the freezer and she'll be like, banana bread. I'll make banana bread out of these.
What's wrong with that?
Well, it's just how long are they in the freezer for? And it's just like, oh, we've got, you know, 20 bananas in the freezer now at this point. I'm okay. Like, I don't know. It's like, I love that we're dreaming about making banana bread. But
it's like, how much banana bread do you actually eat?
But I tell you what, when she does it, it's great. Love sure. Banana bread.
Listen, just about anything in that like loaf bread form. I've had, you ever had zucchini bread?
No. How zucchini is it?
Same. It's as zucchini as banana bread is banana.
Okay. Or I'm not like a fan of zucchini. So I have not had zucchini bread.
It's like carrot cake, but it's zucchini bread, if that makes sense. So put a bunch of flour and sugar. And
do you remember the orange drink Tang?
Sure. Do I remember it?
All right. No, I'm kidding. We had a friend in college who would bake his own bread and he would mix.
Yeah.
He'd get a scoop of Tang.
Sure. And
sprinkle it in there. Make you ever Tang make, bread.
You ever make ice cream bread?
No.
Yeah. Just use ice cream and flour, and it's a sweet, and it's not pound cake, but it's pound cake-esque.
Okay.
Because you got your sugar, your dairy, your fat, like it's all
Would you be there. Able to serve that at Pound Town?
Oh, yeah. I think it would be a neat novelty item on the menu
okay.
at Pound Town, for sure.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. So bananas, brown bananas, thumbs up, thumbs down. Let us know. A lot of feedback on social media over the weekend to that question. More no's than I expected, and a whole bunch of what you said, banana bread. Like, how much banana bread are we eating as a country, if that's everybody's answer?
Not enough.
Because I
guarantee you they're saying the same thing. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you could do that for banana bread, but how many people are following through?
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe a warm banana pudding, also very good, overripe bananas. Okay.
Banana pudding. A good banana pudding is my favorite dessert.
Oh, that's strong. But I need it warm. I don't want cold banana pudding.
I like both.
Yeah.
I'm a banana pudding guy.
Yeah. I guess I should say I don't hate it cold, but a good warm banana pudding is number one on the list.
I actually prefer it cold, but I like it warm as well. Yeah. I like both of them.
The way my mama Effie used to make it in Spring Garden, Alabama with the meringue.
That was good.
Oh, the meringue on top and the Nilla wafers on the inside. Tremendous.
Yeah, tremendous. I think the key is like, can you get everything proportionally right?
Yes.
Like with the wafer to the banana to everything going on. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Moving on.
We can't keep losing Alabama and everything.
Well, yeah. And I know. And I'm not going to, I thought about it all morning. I was going to try to do the toxic positivity.
I'll do it.
Okay.
I'll do this. What happened this weekend? Unacceptable. They know it.
Okay.
They all know it. Everyone knows this.
Yeah.
I mean, Butch's post game with you, like everyone knows that this can't happen.
Yeah.
You can't be the number five team in the country and get swept by your rival where this is supposed to be the sport that you're just like way better than them in. And this happened a few years ago too. We weren't ranked fifth, but like this happened where like we were so much better than them. And I think it was at home. They came in and swept us.
Yeah.
And like that just can't happen.
Yeah.
And it obviously, you know, throughout the fan base, whether it was on boards or social media or just folks I ran into in church last night, like going 0-6 in the Big Three against Bama, like that is not okay.
When's the last time that happened?
What's up?
When's the last time that happened?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I mean, it's been a bit just because of basketball alone, right? And then obviously baseball too. So, not great. Not great at all. And so, you know, does this go all the way to the top to Cohen? I don't know. Like that seems a little dramatic, but and then like you look at it, it's like, well, football, we made a coaching change. Okay, great. Basketball. I think we all kind of understand why that happened in basketball, but baseball was the one where it's like, oh, what a fun opportunity we have here.
Yep.
To kind of get payback and pushback for all this crap that they've put us through. And then they get swept. And I think some of the ways that they've lost has made it like extremely frustrating.
Yeah.
Like Cam Coleman fumbling in the final drive of the Iron Bowl. Very frustrating on multiple levels, especially now, right? Fumbles and he leaves. Goodness gracious. And then, you know, with this basketball team, like I think we all kind of grew tired of the, you know, inconsistencies with like being okay with physicality and not and like trying to outshoot Alabama with selfish shots, like very frustrating. And then with the baseball team this weekend, like it just kind of seeming like, especially Friday, that like they didn't really want to be there.
Yeah.
And it's like you have an opportunity to make a statement and you can't hit the guy. You score once and it's like, okay, I think they scored first in all three games. Is that right?
All three games in the first inning, got one run in an inning, like, not the first.
And it's just like, goodness gracious, finish a freaking game against your rivals. Or, okay, you go down one, have some pride and say, you know what? Texas did this to us last weekend. Mm-hmm. We can do it to them. Nope. You go down 0-2. Well, have some freaking pride and don't get swept against your rivals. Don't roll over. And they rolled over. And the fact that you get run ruled is disgusting. The fact that you get walked off is disgusting. And it's unacceptable. And we'll see how this team responds moving forward.
Yeah, I was going to try to do the, like I was saying, I was going to try to do the toxic positive. Look, they got swept on the road twice last year, and they were still the number four overall seed, which is true. There's still 7 weekends left in the regular season, which is true. There's nothing that makes losing to Alabama palatable. There's not. There's nothing that makes it palatable. So there isn't anything I'm going to come on and say that's going to ease that, that's going to make it any better. It's just there's nothing to make it palatable. All you can do is try to figure it out and, you know, win series going forward. And you can still do a lot of stuff. And it'll still just bite to lose to Alabama. So I like your point, and I will echo that for the people like something's got to be done. Right. And it is. There's a new football coach, and you know, basketball is going to go into year two of its new era. And you know, Butch said in his post-game interview, the quote was, "I understand coming out of this weekend, my job is a lot harder, and it's up to me to make changes." Like, it was as pointed as I've ever heard it, to make changes that help us be the best version of ourselves.
Right. It's not like Butch just got here. He understands. He understands we're getting swept by Alabama in this situation. He gets it. That's
that was the one I'm
least worried about. If I'm being 100% honest, that is the one I'm least worried about. But still, it sucks. And people are saying, like, oh, you got to fire somebody. I'm like, maybe. Or just do things to fix it. And like, on the baseball side of things, I trust that. On football, we just talked about Golish. Like, okay, I think we're taking the proper steps there. Basketball, we need to see the roster that Stephen puts together.
Yeah, and I hate making it a singular A versus B or one versus one type of thing. I don't think you judge yourself against Alabama in a vacuum. Like, big picture programs. But if you're the best version of yourself, beating Alabama is going to take care of itself. It's going to make it a lot more fun.
I was talking to a friend of mine who is a national analyst for a sports media company. We were talking over the weekend. He's like, man, you guys got to beat Bama this year. They're gettable. And I'm like, well, one, you don't know that. Two, it's on the road. Also, like, let's beat Baylor, Florida, and Vandy first.
Yeah.
Let's beat them first.
Right. Yeah, you got 11 other games. Let's get the 11 other games.
Yeah, and look, and if Auburn wins all the other games they're supposed to and they go into Bama, like, yeah, they got a shot. They got a shot. But to make that jump from what we've seen on the field under Hugh Freeze to what hopefully we see under the field on the field against under Golish, like, let's beat Vanderbilt first.
Yeah.
Let's win the games we're supposed to win. Let's win in Starkville.
Yeah, get a six win
against Arkansas. And then historically, when Auburn does that, they can beat Bama.
That attitude, let's tie a bow around this, and I love that you have taken it there, because that kind of attitude, I think, would have flown in the face of previous coaches. I think they would have bristled at that had they heard it. I think they wouldn't have liked fans or anybody who puts out content saying that. I actually think this coach would agree with that. He's like, in fact, this coach would probably say, let's just go have the best practice we can today.
Right.
Let's do that first.
Yeah. It's like, we're not even really watching tape and game planning and installing you know, game plans yet. Like, talk about the final game of the season. Now he would do some of the stuff, you know, to let fans know, like, this is important and I understand it. But yeah, like, he's focused on, all right, what practice do we have? And then, like, let's get everything ready for the scrimmage Thursday night. Like, that's what he's focused on right now.
Get your sixth win before you worry about your eighth or your 10th or your 12th or any particular game that's in November. Win March, then win April, then win the summer, then win August, then win September. Like, take it one at a time like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Great.
Okay.
You're great. The interview was great. It was
really great. You're the best. Check it out. Love you a long time.
That's all I got.
All right. That does it for today's show.
Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. Please subscribe. We're on our way to 13,000. You can be a part of that. We appreciate it. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.